Thank you for those who are joining us in our 21 days of prayer. If you didn't get a prayer card last week, please, there's one, you're maybe sitting on it. But pick it up, take it with you, join us in our prayer. We're praying today especially for those who are first responders, those who serve and protect in our communities. Please keep them and their families in prayer. As we have been calling the church to go vertical, to look up to the Lord, thank you for just being a part of that journey. If you're new to the fellowship, a special invitation to you that next weekend, as Tommy encouraged you, I just want to add my voice and say, please come for the seminar that is a connecting seminar to join with us here at Hope, 1 hour next Sunday morning, 10:30 to 11:30. Please be a part of that. Sign up. If you've never gone through Hope 101, what are you waiting for? It's time for you to join the church. It's time for you to join the church. Quit sitting on the edge and join. That's my prophetic word for today. If I said to you right now, let's pray, what would you do? Most likely you would close your eyes and bow your head, because that's how we pray. That's how you can tell people are praying. If you go to the restaurant and you see somebody across the aisle close their eyes, bow their heads, you go, they're praying. I think it's good to pray in restaurants. You never know where that food's been. And not a forehead wiping prayer, you know, oh God, bless the food. Or a wiping your mouth prayer, oh God, bless the food, God. No, a prayer. It's how we tell people are praying. They close their eyes and they pray. Would it surprise you to know that there's not a verse in all of Scripture that asks us to close our eyes when we pray? When Jesus taught his friends how to pray, he didn't say, okay, now close your eyes and bow your heads. Now, there are scriptures about kneeling in prayer. There are scriptures about standing in prayer. There are scriptures about even raising your hands in prayer. There are scriptures about looking up to God in prayer. So why do we close our eyes when we pray? Some think it's historic that when someone appeared before a king, they didn't want to make eye contact with the sovereign, and so they would avert their eyes. And to make sure that they didn't look into the eyes of the king, the majesty, they would close their eyes when they were talking to the king. I think it's a good habit to close your eyes. I think it helps us to shut out the horizontal world and to tune in to the vertical world. But we have to be careful when we close our eyes that we do something that Paul calls us to do in Ephesians 1 when he says, I want you to have the eyes, he says it like this, the eyes of your heart open. Well, I want you to be aware of some things. When you close your eyes to pray, open the eyes of your heart. I want you to be aware of some things when you pray, and that's what we're looking at today. Praying with an awareness, praying with an alertness. The scripture passage we are focusing on is in Ephesians, and it's in chapter 6. If you have your study guide or your scriptures, you could look into the book of blessing, the word of God, with us. And it's an exhortation. We'll start at verse 18, and then we'll back up from 18. But here is the encouragement of Paul to pray. He says, pray in the Spirit, that is to pray with the Spirit's power and with the Spirit's guidance and with the Spirit's inspiration. When you open your heart and give your heart to Christ, the Spirit of God comes into you. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit. Did you know that? So pray in the Spirit on all occasions. Let me pause and just say, you don't need a special occasion to pray. Right now is an occasion. Pray. Pray on all occasions and pray with all kinds of prayers and all kinds of requests. And keep this in mind. Be alert. Can you just give me a good be alert? Be alert. There are certain things he wants us to be open to, that when we close our eyes, we are alert to some facts as we keep on praying for all of the Lord's people. I want to talk to you about being alert. Maybe you've heard the phrase, watch and pray. To be aware of certain things as we pray through our 21 days of prayer, to be aware and alert to several spiritual factors that will assist our prayer lives and bring the power and the transformation of God onto the planet that is the end of our prayers. Our prayers are not simply that we would be blessed and more comfortable. Our prayers are that the culture we live in would be transformed. So Paul calls us to that, and these are important words because he's coming to the final remarks to his friends that are in Ephesus. This passage really starts up at the 10th verse, and we're just going to read these verses together and look at some things that we should have open eyes towards, an alertness towards, that as we pray, we should be aware of these facts and these factors. So I would just say, brothers and sisters, open up your eyes to this truth. Here it is. First truth in verse 10, he says, I want to say these final words to you, so they're words of importance. When someone gives their final words, they're words of importance. What's the last thing that was said? Here's my final words to you, he says. These are words of importance. I want you to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Here's the first thing I want you to be alerted to. God has strength for you. Everyone that's listening today is human. And human means frail. We're made out of dust. Even last week, if you were here last week and we looked at Daniel chapter 10 and the prophet Daniel was called to pray for 21 days, which is the foundation for our 21 days of prayer. Remember how he was? He was weak. He was mourning. He had sorrow in his soul for 21 days as he prayed. And then God showed up and God did what? God gave him strength. There is a strength that comes when you look to the Lord, when you go vertical, when you lift up your soul to heaven, that nothing on the planet can replace. This last week, we were reflecting, we were praying with our team of pastors, praying for you, praying for the church, praying for our community. And then we sat and we had a long discussion about depression, anxiety, suicide. I don't know if you've been following, but in social media, there was a young pastor, seemingly with everything going for him, who tragically a few days ago took his life, and it's been an area of discussion. He left a beautiful wife and three beautiful children. And so we were talking about the frailty of humanity, the weakness of all of us. And that's not bad for us to be in touch with. How many human beings in the house today? There's a frailness, and we should know that. Joel said in Joel chapter 3 and verse 10, when I am weak, then I can find strength. When you come to the end, when you're like Daniel in that moment of mourning, you can lift up and be alerted to this, that when you pray, a power from God can enter your soul and do what no one else can do. Thank God for doctors. Thank God for friends. Thank God for counselors. But there's something that only God can do in you. Joel found it. He said, when I am weak, I'm strong. He says, let the weak say, any weak people in the house, he says, all you weak folk, all you human beings, all you people that are aware of the despair. Kierkegaard said that to despair is to be human. And it's not wrong. Ministers face it. We went around the room. Have you ever had despair? They said, Scott, have you ever had a moment of despair? I said, yeah, absolutely. I've laid on the ground and felt my life was over. I know that despair. We talked about suicide. Have you ever thought about suicide? And we talked in just transparency, and it was healthy. And some had, and some hadn't. They asked me if I had. I said, no, I have never got that deep, never that far. But there are people here today who are in despair, who have come to the moment of weakness, and we're just saying, hey, here's an alert. Here is something that when you lift your soul to God, that you can be strengthened in the Lord. Paul found that strength in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 when he said, God's power is made perfect in our weakness. He said, when I'm weak, when I'm wrung out, that's when I find a strength, and that strength is available for every single person in this place. Yes, weeping endures for the night, but know, brothers and sisters, that joy comes in the morning. Know that God has a strength. When you feel like you can't face tomorrow, when you feel like you can't go on, when you feel like your life is too much of a burden, be aware of this. There is a supernatural strength that comes when you lift your soul to heaven, when you go vertical, and God wants to give it to you. He's not holding back. How does he exhort us? Pray on all occasions. I would say when you are weak and wrung out, that's an occasion to pray. And there's a strength that comes in prayer, and you are going to need it. How many of you live on the planet? Then you need it. He says you need it because there is a force of darkness that you deal with if you live on the planet. Verse 11, he says, so I want you to receive this strength, I want you to put on the armor. We'll talk about the armor a little later on in the passage. So put on the armor so that you will be able to stand. And if you're taking notes, circle that word stand. He asks us four times in this passage of Scripture to stand, to stand, to stand, and to stand. I want you to stand against the strategies. What's it say? The strategies of the devil. Just so that you are aware of this, an alert, evil is organized. And evil has a strategy. Evil is working on the planet. Evil is trying to work in this room right now. There's a strategy, a darkness. Jesus dealt with a person called, not some vague entity, power. He dealt with a person called the devil, and evil is in the devil's name. And that darkness has strategic attacks. I was thinking about them. I couldn't name all of the strategies of the devil because there's actually so many, but here are some of the chief strategies of evil, darkness, that you just need to be aware of, be alerted to. And when you're alerted to it, then it should call you not to live in fear, but it should press you towards praying on all occasions. So he says this, he says, one of the chief strategies that darkness loves to operate it in is the strategy of division. He loves to divide you and separate you from the people that you need the most, usually. He tries to mess things up with the people that you're supposed to be closest to. He wants to divide you from. He loves when people fight. He loves when families are at war. He loves when churches don't get along. He loves to stir things up. And you can tell it's spiritual because he takes small, dumb little things and magnifies them and makes us fight over them. Just think about the last fight you had. Oh, it was so important. Probably not. He loves to pull people apart. And while he is trying to pull people apart, God has a strategy of bringing people together, a strategy of reconciliation, a strategy of forgiveness, a strategy of grace. He has a strategy of manifesting the Holy Spirit on the planet. And the Holy Spirit, when he manifests, is filled with love and joy and peace and patience and kindness. Those are all words that strengthen relationships and bring people back together again. He wants to bring you together while the enemy is trying to pull you apart. He has the strategy of division. He has the strategy of pride. Why? Because the devil, Lucifer, was filled with pride in the heavenlies when he said, I will ascend to the throne of God. I could run this show better than God could. That's pride. And that pride says you don't need to pray. And it's one of the reasons why people need to be called to prayer, because they're trying to face life by themselves. I've got this. I can take care of it. I can figure this out. I can work through this. And he said, no, pause and pray. Understand that you need God. And he calls you to call on him. Jeremiah 33:3, I love it. It says, call unto me. It's God calling to you to call to him. Call unto me, and then I will show you great and mighty things. It's God calling you to call on him, to humble yourselves. It's why one of the positions of prayer is to, you don't have to kneel to pray, but your heart should always be kneeling in prayer. You don't have to physically do this, but spiritually, this is the position of humility. God, you are in charge, not me. I trust you. I can't figure everything out, but I'm trusting you. When the enemy can't get you with pride, the enemy will try discouragement. This is one of his strategies. He loves to say, you're not good enough. You are a mess. In fact, you shouldn't even come to church, because everybody at church, especially Church of Hope, they're very righteous people, and you just won't fit in with them. That's a lie. When you feel discouraged, you've been listening to the wrong source of information. The devil is called the father of lies. When he opens his mouth, when he communicates, he is lying, and he lies, and he lies, and he lies, and he tells you you're worthless, and he tells you not even to try. He tells you to stay home. Thanks at least for overcoming that lie. You showed up today. I talked to a sister in the last service. She said, I had to fight darkness to get to church. And she said, I'm so glad I'm here. He loves to discourage. It's one of his strategies. The Spirit of God loves to encourage. When we read the book of blessing, it encourages us. In fact, this very passage that we're in is about overcoming darkness. It's about not darkness overcoming you. It's about you overcoming darkness. We don't have to be afraid as we see a rising tide of evil and darkness. We can be encouraged because God has a strength for us. Refer to alert number one. Strength. So we are aware that there are strategies, but they're not just broad strategies against nations and broad strategies against church. There's a personal involvement that this strategy, this spiritual kingdom that Paul is talking about and alerting us to, that has you in mind. Look at the next verse. It's very personal because he says, for we, and if you've got a pen, underline, circle, highlight we, because you are part of that. You and me makes we. So when he's talking about we, he's talking about you. He's writing to his friends, and he says, we, me and you, you and me, together. So it's personal now. Yes, there are strategies against nations, and yes, there are strategies against communities, and yes, there are strategies, but there are strategies against you. And when we are in conflict, we're not in conflict with people. We don't fight against flesh and blood. We don't fight against people, but there is a thing behind the thing. there's something going on up above your head. And he's trying to alert us to that. There are rulers, there are evil rulers, there are authorities in this unseen world, which is a spiritual world, against mighty powers in the darkness of this world, against evil spirits that are in some heavenly dimension. We live in three dimensions, but he's trying to alert us that darkness is against you personally. And you may never meet the devil because he's very busy. And he's not omnipresent. He's not everywhere at the same time. Jesus met him because Jesus was pretty important. But you will meet some of his ambassadors. You will meet some of his forces. We live in a three-dimensional world that we can see, but the Bible teaches and physics has now confirmed there are more dimensions going on. There's stuff going on you can't see. And when you pray, you engage the unseen world. Didn't that happen in Daniel? We studied Daniel last week. When he prayed, something happened in the heavens. Remember? Michael, the archangel, the mighty warrior, had to be sent into the midst of Daniel's prayer ministry because what he was praying was so big, Michael had to show up. Oh, and I said, wouldn't it be great if you prayed prayers big enough to get Michael working? That means you're at a high level. And he's talking about this strategy, this kingdom that we need to be aware of. That strategy is not just global and not just national, that there is a personal attack that's aimed to bringing destruction in your life, because that's what darkness does. He knows your weaknesses. He knows the things that he gradually wants to change in your life. Here's one of his chief strategies: to gradually cause you to compromise. A little bit at a time. I don't know if you've ever read C.S. Lewis or C.S. Lewis when he wrote the Screwtape Letters, which is an interesting explanation of the passage and the principles that we're teaching today, that there is a spiritual kingdom that goes on. And C.S. Lewis, quoting the demonic, says, "The easiest road to hell is gradual. The gentle slope downward, the soft path, no sharp corners, no signpost, no milestone, just a little bit of compromise along the way." And I don't know what areas he's trying to get you to compromise in, but I absolutely know you need to be alert. You are in a battle for your soul. You know it. And you can't make it without his protection. His strength, he starts with, be strong in the Lord. Be aware of darkness. Be aware that it's aimed for you. And then he calls us in the military and he says, okay, I want to bring you into the world of the military. And I want you to hear these words. As you know this stuff is going on, I want you to put on, he calls it, verse 13, put on every piece of God's armor. And he brings us into the military, and his audience would have been well acquainted with the Roman military because they were the occupying force. Everybody had seen a Roman soldier march by. And so he brings us into that world as a metaphor, as a teaching. He says, I want you to put on every piece of God's armor so that you will be able to resist the enemy. And you can resist. You can be victorious. You can do it every time that evil rises its head. Because then after the battle, you will still be standing. And that's my prayer for you, that you will still be standing. Yes, there's darkness. Yes, there's a strategy. Yes, he's trying to bring destruction. But you can still be standing. And then he just walks us through some of the equipment of this ancient Roman warrior. Interestingly, he starts with the belt. It's called the belt of truth. Probably not the most important, you would think, peace to start with. We would start with like something like the sword. That's important. Because we like, when you see someone who's armed, you usually look at what they're packing. When you look at a policeman, you're not looking at the belt. I wonder what kind of belt he's wearing. You're looking at what kind of caliber is that? So you're looking at, hey, but he starts with the belt because the belt holds all of the pieces together. It was the truth that holds your life together. He says you need to start with truth. To overcome the father of lies, the best way to overcome a lie is the truth. He says, I call you to know the truth because the truth will set you free. And the more you know the truth and the more you walk in the truth, the more you will overcome darkness. He talks about the righteousness, the body armor of righteousness, the breastplate of righteousness, because it protects the heart and the innermost vital organs. To think right, to be right, to be covered by the righteousness of Christ, to have righteousness. He talks about the shoes. Another piece that we probably don't look too much at when we look at a soldier, the shoes of peace. Which is very interesting because he's got this warfare metaphor going on, but he pauses to say, okay, but it's all about peace. Because you don't really understand spiritual warfare until you understand that every room you come into, it's to be an ambassador of peace. Every room you come into, it's to bring a change in the atmosphere because you have showed up. And it's not to pour fuel on the fire. If you're stepping into rooms and the antagonism level goes up, there's something wrong. You're to walk into a room in peace because you have peace with God and you have peace with people. And you understand you're not fighting against people anyway. You're not fighting against people. The people in your office, you're not fighting against them. The people at your school, you're not fighting against them. The people that live on your street, there's a thing behind the thing, not flesh and blood. So that you can love people even when they are crappy to you. That's a Greek word. Crappé. That you walk in with peace. That you have that peace that passes all understanding. You have a shield of faith. And the Romans had two kinds of shields. A small shield that was used for personal conflict. But this is a shield of faith that overcomes the fiery darts of the enemy. And I don't know if you've ever seen the ancient war scenes of Roman legions. They had a large shield, like a body-sized shield. And that shield was used in community. That shield was used when the enemy was coming. They locked those shields together and put those shields over their head. And you'd see the barrage. You can see it in movies today where they launch a barrage of arrows dipped in some kind of flammable material and they come in like a rainstorm. But the Roman army stands there with its shield locked together and extinguishes every fiery dart. Here's the truth, that your faith is good individual. You may have a small short, but it's important that you come together and lock with the people around you because it's in community that you are the safest. It's in community that the fiery darts of the enemy are extinguished. When the enemy says stay home, that's the very time you need to come with your shield and lock it with somebody else's so that you're safe and they're safe because you're here. The shield of faith, the helmet of salvation. And your heart needs to be right, and you need to think the right thoughts. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. When Jesus dealt with the enemy, the devil, in the wilderness, he overcame the devil by quoting the word of God. And so you've got to know the word. You've got to memorize the word. You've got to have it at your disposal so that it will make you strong. And he says, okay, yes, there's darkness going on. There's a strategy against you, but I have given you the equipment. I've given you the equipment you need to be alert to the things that are open, the spiritual kingdom that's going on, and to be victorious, because when you have all of this armor on, what does he call you to do? Just keep reading. He says, okay, be strong in the Lord, because there's spiritual strategy and there's rulers and powers. And so you need this equipment and have this equipment. And when you're fully equipped, what does he say? He says, you're going to stand, but let me tell you where the best way to stand. The best way to stand is on your knees. That's what he says. You get all that equipment. You're all geared up. You're all pumped up. And he says, okay, now. Now I want you to be alert. Pray. Well, I wanted to hit something. Pray. This is where the victory comes. Pray. And we're not praying, oh God, we're going to overcome the enemy. We're going, oh God, you overcome him. Because I want to be strong in his power. Oh God, you overcome. The best way to stand against darkness and evil is to be a person of prayer. So he says, pray in the Spirit. On all occasions, with all kinds of prayers. When you pray, God doesn't say, why are you bugging me? He says, thank you for praying. I asked you to do it. So I don't care what occasion you're facing, but it's an occasion. I don't care what's going on in your life, but it's an occasion. And if you're supposed to pray on all occasions, this would be a good one to pray. And pray in the Spirit. With all kinds of requests, with this in mind, be alert. Always keep on praying for all God's people. So be alert of this. Pray. How often? Pray every day. Every day. Every day has to be a day of prayer. In fact, a day without prayer is a wasted 24 hours. You ever get to the end of a day and go, man, today was such a waste? Not if you pray. Not if you pray. I encourage you to find a place, a chair, a location, and set an agenda and say, okay, I'm going to pray at this time in this place. And then pray in a way that works for you. If you have to keep a prayer journal, keep a prayer journal. Write a list of things that you pray about. Or some people have to write their prayers out. Then write your prayers out. Do what works for you. I like to walk and pray. So I'm not in a seat usually. I'm usually moving my feet when I pray. But that works for me. Find a way that prayer that works for you and pray all the time, on all occasions. Sometimes an occasion happens, a discouragement happens, an anxiety happens, and prayer is the last thing on our agenda. He says, no. I want it to be the first thing on your agenda. I want to call you to pray, because when you pray, it changes things in the atmosphere. That's what he's talking about. He said, you can't see it, but there's an atmosphere. There's a dimension beyond this dimension, and in that dimension are spiritual beings who have an agenda to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But be not afraid, brothers and sisters, because we are part of the family of God that was purchased on Calvary's hill when Jesus overcame all the powers of hell. And he says, I've got you covered. I want to equip you with the helmet of salvation. Think saved. Know this. And pray on the planet that the culture of this world would not get worse. Lots of division going on. We are, in our nation, more polarized than at any time in my life. And it's on both sides, guys. Statesmanship is low. Mean words, mean actions. Who's behind? I wonder what's going on. I'll tell you what's going on. That's one of the strategies of the enemy, to bring division. Your home is facing division. Wonder what's going on. I'll tell you what's going on. There's a strategy to tear your home apart. There's a strategy to tear your marriage apart. But it's not the strategy of God. The strategy of God is to hold you together, to cause you to love, to cause you to grow in grace, to cause you to esteem the other better than yourself, which you can't do without God's strength. That changes culture. And we're on the planet in this generation to change culture. Charles Finney is a name in American history that was known for a spiritual awakening called in American history the Second Great Awakening. We actually need a great awakening today. So I've been referring to some of these spiritual awakenings in our history. Charles Finney had a 7-year ministry. 500,000 people made commitments to Christ. They researched years after his calling people to Christ. 80% of the people, this is amazing, 80% of the people were still walking by faith, still going on with the Lord, still living righteous lives. They said, that's amazing. How does that happen? And so they drilled down on it, and they found that Charles Finney had a partner named Daniel Nash. And Daniel Nash's ministry was a ministry of prayer. Charles preached. Daniel prayed. Daniel would arrive weeks before Charles was scheduled to come into a community. He would rent a room, and he would pray. He would gather people together, and they would pray. Because prayer changes the atmosphere. We're praying that the atmosphere of our community is changed. And I'm trying to exhort you and encourage you. It happens when we pray together. It's not just you praying and your voice hits the ceiling. Your voice is going into that realm of the Spirit, and it's changing things. Daniel Nash would get on his face, and he would pray, and he would gather people of prayer around him, and they would pray. In fact, one time, Charles Finney arrived in the community, and a lady met him and said, I'm so glad you're here. This guy named Daniel Nash, he's rented a room in our boarding house, and he's in there all the time, groaning. He's got the room filled with people now. And I opened the door, and I was afraid to go in because they were all on their face. It looked like they'd passed out. And they were groaning, you have to come and help these guys. And Charles Finney said, no problem, I don't need to come. They are in the travail of prayer. They had figured it out. That when they prayed, it changed the atmosphere of that community. That when they lifted their voices vertical, it changed the atmosphere. Can change the atmosphere of a university. It can change the atmosphere of your business. It can change the atmosphere that we live in. And that's what Paul is talking about. He wants us to be alert, that the eyes of our heart would be opened, that we close our eyes to pray. I'm for that. But we're not unaware of what happens when we lift our hearts to heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. So we stand for prayer, and we close our eyes, and we open our heart. I want our prayer team to come immediately to prepare to pray with you and for you, that needs will be met in this room today. The greatest need, of course, is the need for Christ, for the presence of Christ to be in our heart, in our lives, for Christ to be our Savior, and for Christ to be our Lord. And so I want to pray for 100% of the people here today, from the very front to the very back, from the right-hand side to the left-hand side, 100%, we're praying, will open your heart to Christ. Give your life to Christ. You don't have to be perfect to do this. You don't have to be a member of this church to do this. Just realize that you are a beloved child of God, and He wants you in His family, and He's calling you home. Don't live far away from God. You can't affect culture living far away from God. You can't change the atmosphere living far away from God. So here's our prayer, and I'm going to lead it. I'm going to pray out loud, and I'm going to ask you to pray out loud, because God says, believe in your heart, that's good, but confess with your mouth, and miracles take place. So here's our prayer. I'm going to ask everyone to pray together. as we give our lives to Christ, some for the first time, some for the first time in a long time. Lift your voice, good strong voice. Dear Heavenly Father, come to you in Jesus' name. I open my soul to everything Jesus is. I repent of my sins and I turn away from them. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to be forgiven. I want to walk in the love of God. I want to follow Jesus every day of my life. Help me to pray. Teach me to pray. Change the atmosphere of this community. Change the atmosphere of this country. Change the atmosphere of this world. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, 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 amen. Keep your eyes closed. Because I just want to pray a moment for homes, families that are under spiritual attack. In the strong, mighty, and majestic name of Jesus, I pray for your home, for peace to pervade, for the shalom to be in your home. I pray that God will hold things together. I pray, and we pray together for strong homes, strong family. We just pray that in Jesus' name. Everybody says, amen. Look this way, could you? Our team is here to pray with you and for you. Whatever your needs are, need of salvation, need of healing, need of spiritual freedom, maybe to pray for your home. So in a moment, the worship team is going to lead us. Prayer is going to be offered, and I encourage you to come forward and receive prayer. If you'd like to receive communion, communion is also available to anyone that's a friend of Jesus. You don't have to be a member of this church, just a friend of Jesus. And communion reminds us the bread and the cup, the bread, the body, the cup, the blood of Christ's work on the cross. That he did everything for us, so we accept that and we rejoice in that. If you've been a guest here today, thank you so much for coming. Join us on this journey of changing and transforming culture and society. Last week, there was a prophetic word given over the church that he's calling us to change culture, and I think we should listen to that and we should walk in that. But we have to walk humbly. It's not a pride thing or an ego thing. It's to humbly serve the agenda of God. That's our thing. If you've been a guest, thanks for coming. Come again. If you're a guest and you've never connected or never stopped by a room we have specially prepared for you, please do that before you go. It's the VIP room because you are a VIP, and it's over on the left-hand side at the back. Just want to meet you, greet you. I'm going to pray a blessing now. And after this blessing, there's no other benediction. I'm going to take this position in prayer. Maybe you want to receive this blessing. This is a Bible way of praying. Then the worship team is going to lead us. People are going to come forward for prayer. If you're giving your heart to Christ for the first time or for the first time in a long time, it's essential that you come and tell somebody today. Say, I prayed with Scott today. I'm coming home spiritually. Or whatever your need is. And now I open my hands towards heaven and I pray that the blessing of the Lord would be with you. I pray that the grace of God would abound in and through you. I pray that you would be more aware of spiritual things. As you lift your soul heavenward, as you go vertical, may you be more aware that what you do on the earth in prayer affects the atmosphere in the heavenlies. I pray that the God of hope would fill you with all joy and all peace as you trust in God, so that you would overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I bless you in the strong, mighty and majestic name of Jesus. And in Jesus' name, you are very, very blessed. And everybody says together, amen. God bless you. Grace and peace, everybody. Grace and peace. Come forward for prayer. Come forward for communion. Take time to pray.